Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you. evening, good evening. Welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Soul Tree, Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm Michael Lewis, and I'm your host. And as always, it's good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BASNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be, as they may be chiming in. And as always, I say a fond hello to my brothers. And I know they use the term brothers euphemistically a lot of times, but my brothers are truly my brothers. In and out of kin, in and out of skin, they're my family. And I got the oldest one with me, rattling pots and pans in the kitchen as we speak. My man Gary North Gray. What up, G?
They is a sad day for the Ogre A's.
What happened?
I went to the game today.
And?
I sat in the bleachers. They were, I counted on my fingers. There were 49 people in the bleachers.
49?
And they beat it again. 49?
Holy shit.
49 fans in the bleachers.
Damn.
The total attendance of that game was 950.
Damn.
950. Yeah. Half of those fans were Blue Jay fans. Okay? They get all the way down from Canada. All the way down from Canada to watch their Blue Jays play the A's. Okay?
They probably got a group discount.
This owner needs to be outed. This owner needs to be kicked in the butt. This owner needs to be ostracized. But what are you doing to the Oakland A's franchise? Michael, let's take this seriously here.
All right.
When I went to the concession stands, half of those concession workers were over the age of 60.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Over half of those workers were over the age of 60.
I'm surprised it had to be.
This year, we're over again.
Yeah.
Over again.
But this begs a question. And our other brother, Tony, is a mix. Tony, what's the lowest attendance that you ever witnessed while you were at a baseball game, one that you know of? And good evening.
Good evening. I believe the 79 A's played a game with the Seattle Mariners where it was 1,000 votes. That's the
lowest. I think the A's broke. I think the A's broke today.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I mean, understandably. I mean, you know, they're, you know, you're, it's, you know, they still got a bunch of home games left, so they're probably going to, you know, they're probably going to get close to, you may even get a game under a thousand. See, in 1979, basically, the two worst franchises in baseball at that time were the A's and the Mets, and I think both of them drew less than 700,000 that year. Matter of fact, I think the Mets had 12,000 for their home opener. Think about
wow.
that. Oh, yeah. 79.
No,
12.
12,000.
Yeah. How many A's had 29 this year?
29. Yeah, but that's probably about an over average crowd for them, depending on who, because you know, there's certain teams, like, you know, when the Yankees come in, when the Red Sox come in, they pump it up to about 35,000, maybe 30,000. But here's the thing. I remember in 79, it was a game between the Mariners, who were basically 2 years into their existence, and the A's had literally reached, you know, I mean, is there something beyond rock bottom? You know, they basically, I guess maybe the pits of hell or something to that effect. But Wayne Gross made the comment that he literally could have introduced himself individually to each fan. And this was, and mind you, this was still when the Raiders were still there. Now, you know, and I want to say it was an April or May game, if I remember correctly. Okay. And it was, I want to say it was about 1,100 folks.
Wow.
And then, you know, a year later, I believe that's when the Haas family took over a year later. And within a year, then that next year, they hired Billy Martin, literally, I think, 2 days after he got, I think almost 2 months after he got fired for the 150,000th time by the Yankees at that point. But it's the thing though, Gar, and I don't mean to whatever, because see, look, I know, you know, you're a loyal fan and all the other stuff, and see, the closest thing I've ever seen to having a team leave town, there was a, you know, ironically.
It's just a matter of time, even if by some
stretch of the imagination, there's like a 14th hour thing of the city council in Oakland and all these other stuff. Say, okay, we'll give you the ballpark. The barn doors, the horses, the cows, the pigs. The rhino, this is beyond the blue light special for a Kmart. I remember there's an old NFL Films clip of Andre Rison, and he says, he basically says, all y'all gonna see this all day. And he turned around and showed his Rison number 80. That's basically what, you know, that's basically where
I'm looking at the average attendance for the A's games are 9,550.
Wow.
That's about, Chris, you see,
the average.
The crazy thing is, even with all of this, they could be seen as diehards. Every team have guys and gals that, they go to maybe say 15, 20 games a year. They listen to on the radio. They make sure that they have it on cable or whatever. They may even have an MLB subscription where they can get all the A's games or what have you. I will say this. Out of all the four major sports, when you get a loyal baseball fan, and I might be biased when I say this, you can't get anybody more loyal than a loyal baseball fan.
I'm looking at the upper deck.
Two of them were Bob Uecker's relatives, probably. But the thing about this, because there's loyalty in all sports. Football has basically become an all year sport, so there's a sense of loyalty there. Basketball as well. And Mike, you know this better than anyone. You go to Canada, you know, Leaf fans, Canadian fans, Canuck fans, all 12 of them are
That's
just,
right.
you know, they're loyal. But see, with baseball, it's a, I mean, to a certain extent, it's year-round commitment. And see, think about the days before cable and satellite TV and what have you to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only reason why I ever subscribed to the sporting news back in the day was because, you know, it was literally the Bible of baseball. And that was
That was our
off-season fix. You know, that was our MLB
yep.
tonight before cable. That was our
yep.
baseball tonight. You know, you would get the sporting news each week. Now, also, if you had a couple extra bucks, you would pick up maybe Baseball America, which would deal with the colleges and the minor leagues. Now, you know, you can watch games online. The crazy thing is, sporting news is basically dead as a publication. They're still around.
You're right.
They still exist online, but
mm-hmm.
because there are so many other stuff, because there's so many other outlets now, between you know, minor league baseball as a whole has a website. You got to go, you know, and then every individual team and everything else. But I say all that basically when you've got a loyal baseball fan. Out of the 162 games, you probably are going to physically watch, say, maybe 60, maybe a half, maybe like 60, maybe 70, depending. See, my thing is always, there's three, like, you know, I always try to, you know, opening day is a must.
Okay.
You always want to see opening day.
Labor Day.
Well, see, a lot of it depends on where the team is. If the team is like 150
sure.
games out of first place, you are probably you're probably checking college football schedules. I know. Now, the thing is, now this year for me. When it became painfully obvious that they weren't going anywhere, everything, you know, when they had the purge during the trade deadline, it became
yep.
about, okay, let's see what these kids can do. And, you know, full disclosure, I don't watch every game. I think I've watched maybe 3-4 games in full
right.
within the last, say, couple of weeks or so. I check them out. I always, you know, I may do highlights. I may like have it on in the background, but I do want to see what these kids can do, because I think if they're going to be smart about this, between the Gang of Four that are basically playing now, I would
True.
Think three, if not all four of them, are going to be a major part of the roster next year, depending on what they do. And that's the thing with the A's, too. I would think, Gary, you're probably looking and saying, how many of these guys are going to be here
yeah.
3-4 years from now?
And this is the thing. Before the season began,
mm-hmm.
I knew the A's were going to go nowhere. Because the core group of the A's are under 25 years old. You can't win like that.
What Gary said earlier, we got Reggie with us, makes it more significant. The concussion stand, there were very few people there, but the people that were working were all over 60.
Over 60, yes.
They're all gone because they have no revenue.
No.
The newspaper, well, how's the newspaper going to maintain with no baseball? I mean, it'll be gutted in terms of material as far as sports section is concerned.
What they'll do, I already see happening. You're seeing transfer fans going to be giant fans. That's happening already.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, that's, you know, there's no way around that, unfortunately. There's no way around
true.
That, you know. Because, you know, see, truth be told, a lot of these Met fans who are so anti-Yankee are sitting around, you know, one love with Yankees. I mean, look, I would rather root for the Communist Party than,
trying to say you better vote for Donald Trump than do that.
Put it this way. The last time I actually was watching where I made it a point to watch the Yankees, it had everything to do with my dad. When my dad was in hospice, I made it a point to watch Yankee games. I actually wrote an article about it. There was a point about 6-7 years ago where the Yankees, their lineup, for like the first time in like ever, I think, they had on a given night of the 10 guys that were in the lineup, 6 to 7 of them were black. I made it a point to watch them for him. We were actually one of the last things we did together before he passed was we saw the Derek Jeter jersey retirement.
Amen. So, but see, special moments are like that. It's always sports has been the wrestling in some occasions,
to the
craziness. And first of all, I want to say peace and bless to the deacons for the sense of justice, now in sports and social issues. Peace and blessing to you all, and I hope all are well. And second of all, if I could say that from what I've seen right now, when Coach Primetime kicked a little ass this past week, everybody talked all over what's going on.
We're going to talk about that little beta veggie, but you know what?
But Mike, if I could, I don't want to inject, but I have to say that Morgan State took care of University of Richmond this past week, and Coach Damian Wilson lost his father the week before the game. Now, I went on local sports talk radio and told them, I said that Coach Wilson lost his father this past weekend. That was the week before the game. The announcer, Bob Black, who's a Syracuse alum, already said that he was nervous and scared about Morgan playing not only this game, but the emotion of the coach losing his father. And the rest is history when Morgan came down 95 and whooped a little conservative Donald Trump Republican's ass. Now, I will say this about University of Richmond. Our main man, Johnny Newman, you know, had a good experience there. Coach Mike London won a national championship there, and we had a few others. But this is after a whole lot of black folks went through a whole lot of hell and a whole lot of protests to get that situation straight in Richmond. And Richmond is still somewhat conservative. Because I can tell you, the coach, football coach that was there, he done got his ass kicked by so many black coaches that his ass is infuriated. He hates losing a black coach. I've had private conversations with some black coaches, which I'll say off the air, because we know everybody's listening, and I don't want shit to be in print. But I can tell you one thing. He got a brother getting ready to kick his ass this week at Michigan State, and it might not be pretty. And I've already told him that I said Richmond better be hoping that they get beat by only 40 points to stay as far right. Because I got a feeling after seeing Richmond getting beat by Morgan, Michigan State ain't even going to sit back and say, we're going to overlook these chumps. No, we're going to put an ass open on them and take them back down the road.
Well, you know, a lot was made of what Colorado did. You know, I mean, let's just not forget it. Let's just put this, it's not just Deion, but I get it. But there were a lot of great upsets. You saw State go down and beat Norfolk down in Norfolk. Union won down in Canton. There's a lot of good stuff. I want to re-mention something that I mentioned on the show last week, and I have no problem saying this. I am definitely going to be watching Colorado's games this year if and when they're on. They are arguably the most intriguing team, if not in all of college football, maybe in all of sports right now, but that being said, I'm hoping that there's not a Jackie Robinson effect amongst the black sports fans where they basically return their back on the HBCUs because there's still damn good football in the HBCUs. Did Deion's foray bring a little bit more attention? Yes, but he didn't, put it this way, he didn't start the fire. He helped, he helped flame it up a little bit more. But I implore all black sports fans, if you were watching HBCUs before and during the time that Deion was there, you need to still have your, I say this with all sincerity, you need to have your ass in front of those games even more so now, especially this year. Right now, counting streaming, the different networks, there are up to 150 games of the HBCU games on this year. Now that's almost triple from last year's 50. Thank you. And
one thing that Deion said, and I think people better pay attention to what he said. He said, "I'm gonna do it my way. I'm gonna do it my way. We're gonna win my way."
The
other thing he said was that his kid can play. And believe me, his kid can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I mean, well, see, here's the thing. Now, our buddy Flemlo Rap did a wonderful thing. I'll send it to you, guy. I meant to send it earlier today, but I apologize. But here's the thing. I mean, to say that he rebuilt the roster would be like saying Jill Scott's a pretty decent looking woman. That's an understatement.
I think he puts a little accent on that, a little bit more decent. You know what I mean, bro?
I just wanted to see the effect. But the thing is, I believe Flemlo said 35 to 40% of the roster are from the portal and they're from but they're junior college guys and they're also five-year teammates. Mm-hmm. So basically, you got some guys. They're hungry. This is basically last chance you on steroids. Now, here's the thing. And again, put in perspective. Now, remember, during the fall season when he began at Jackson State, remember, he started off 2-0, and then by the third game, they were handing him his lunch. Now, I still say that there's success for them will be a bowl game, which basically is like 5 to 6 wins.
6 wins, got a bowl game.
And the thing about it is, it's doable. It's very, very doable in the sense.
Win two more games, they didn't get it.
By the way.
They've already won one game from last year. So.
Pac-12 is 13-0. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But see, here's the thing.
Did someone just say Colorado's going to go 13-0?
I'll just leave it at this. It's definitely doable because at the end of the day...
What's doable, Tia? Bowl game?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Six wins.
Absolutely. I think a bowl game...
Free advertisement.
The thing is that...
My goodness.
And again, I'm not trying to go pom-pom.
Overinflate?
No.
Okay.
The difference here is, like Gary said, he's not doing it conventionally, and to be honest with you, that's probably his best asset right now.
Did you watch him snap in the game? I watched every snap. Okay, keep going. All right.
Mm-hmm. You told the press conference after the game?
They definitely got to do something with the defense. There's no doubt about that.
What's up, fellas? This is the biggest. The last time I seen a piñata get built like this.
I gotta write this down. All right, take your time. The last time I seen a piñata get rolled like this, man.
I don't know if it's been the time for that. In a slow news week, pre-NFL first game of the season, Fox got everything they wanted with scheduling this game. A few months back,
yes,
right?
They got everything.
They got everything they wanted. It's been a long time since I watched every snap of any football game. And I did. Mm-hmm. I watched literally every single snap.
They had 7.1 million viewers.
That's my point. It was perfectly primed.
It's a perfect song.
A 9 a.m. start on the West Coast. That was lovely.
Yes.
Get some fresh air. Handle some business at 9 a.m. Coach, prime. Time to go watch the game. Here we go. What am I doing? Y'all are so funny.
Let me weigh in.
Has anything I said so far been false?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. So my point being is, prime. I mean, it's all there in effect. Now, game-wise, the surprising highlight for me was the poise in which Colorado played. The poise was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was surprising to have the team that early play so polished and poised with so many new players. I don't care where they came from, what quarter they came from.
You know why you do that? I'm going to tell you why.
First of all, let me say this, G. I mean, when you coach a team when you have a team play with poise, that's the key.
He literally outcoached Van Dyke.
Whatever that guy's name, stupid coach, my God. In that particular game. Now, let's keep it, it's Grady won. He was getting caught more in-bombs as he watched the field than ever known a man. Them kids were unleashing every level of negative racist slander when he walked by the field, you know. And so for me, you know, I'm always down with the brothers no matter what. You know, and at the same time, now in the NC2A, they call it that one shining moment. Okay, let's not have this be the one shining moment, right? Yeah. Because technically speaking, you know, TCU made two turnovers inside the 10. This Hunter kid, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable to take that many snaps.
he can't do that all year. I mean, he took 100-plus snaps, offensive and defense. That 16 catch he made, he's probably one of three people in the nation who could have made that play. Frank,
absolutely.
I agree. Keep it 100. Mm-hmm. That interception he made on the 5-yard line, he's the only one in the nation who could have done that.
Eric, I was just about to say that. Remember the play that basically he came from, he literally ran from Boulder to Texas to catch that,
yeah, stop that touchdown? Stop that touchdown? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, save the touchdown.
Oh,
now, and then that is just, you know, I mean, Deion, you know, it's his team. He calls it what he wants. He gives L's and D's on jerseys. L is for leader. That's what Shadur wears. D is what Hunter wears, a dog. You know, having those dogs in you. Those were just plays that a one percenter can only make in football, right? So your top talented players that came from Jackson State, they made exceptional plays. It's doubtful. Now, I can be proven wrong here that Shadur is going to go for another 5'10". The other component to that, too, is, which I shared with someone, no one had tape on Colorado. What's their system?
Exactly.
How were they going to come out? They did play similar to Jackson State with the, you know, with the dink and dunk. Now, Deion, he played with the Cowboys, and he knew to get some. He's out. He's going to protect his son. So he's like, yeah, I got 2 6-9 tackles. And it didn't matter where they came from. They 6'9", 300 something. And so their pass blocking game is far superior than their rushing game. Right? They're far superior than their rushing game. Yet, despite how that played out and how well they played, they lost leads many times. Right? So in other words, this was not a dominating game. It was a game of being outpoised, being outcoached. And that's it. But it was a very close football game. So the expectations, you know, have just been like so surreal. To me, it's almost comical because when you watch how the game played out, just to get the win, just to play, they've already, like Tony said, they've already mentioned it. Now, some other key factors, though. After the game, hey, people don't like seeing me coming. I got 75 or so. Deion, you're the fourth brother to coach Colorado in the last 15 years. You're the fourth. Let's measure this, right? You're the fourth. But, like I said, in the hype machine, in a way, if he had won the game, which he did, and played it out, and it was maybe more of a news cycle, and he could kind of stream throughout the season a little bit more, that's a little bit better. But now the expectations are absolutely overwhelmingly high. They got footage of tape.
That's what everybody wanted.
Eric, can I ask you a question?
Okay, we knew that you had Delee Koso showed his cracker ass before the game.
Manny.
And we had the former Dallas Cowboys reporter, Ed Waters, who, by the way, was so scared of the black players, T.O. and others, that he bought a gun to defend himself, and also he walks in the locker room with a damn gun, and nobody does a damn thing about it.
I hear you, I ride with you 100% because, again, you know, watching. I mean, I was all in. I wanted to see Colorado win the game. I mean, I was blown away with the poise, though. I mean, it was exceptional. The way that they were, you know, 39 for 47. You know, when you have a coach that had foot surgery, right? You know, maybe another toe amputated as well, right? You know, right? And to go out there, I mean, this one hit and always factor that was so overwhelmingly predominant for me, you know, was if your players don't play hard and they don't show up, X's and O's don't mean shit.
Especially in the college game, because let's be honest, at the end of the day, it's about emotion more than anything else.
Amen. Morgan State beat Richmond.
It was emotion.
And that's coaching. That's coaching, though. That part was exceptional to me, and like I said, surprising. I seen it at Jackson mm-hmm. State. It was tough to measure a little mm-hmm. bit at Jackson State because I thought he just had the best squad, the best team, the best depth, right?
That's why I'm throwing A&M whoop Jackson State ass this past week.
Oh my lord! I mean, I was hearing George Harris.
But they're still a quality team, though, Reg. So, I mean, yeah. They got their lunch handed to them, but that's still a quality team. There, they, you know.
I don't know.
I mean, the last time I seen a team play that much man-to-man bump and run, I thought the Soul Patrol was back out there on the field for PCO.
They're still looking for that little brother that just turned. I mean, when he turned that one screen tag.
Have you ever seen a team play that much raw man-to-man? Have you ever seen a team play that much raw man-to-man coverage?
Because they had to.
Was it the way they spread the field? Was it the way they spread the field? They had no choice with the four receivers?
It was single high safety for most of the second half. Rogers caught a touchdown pass for Sanders.
Uh-huh.
Colorado is up 52-42 now.
That's true. That's very much true.
The one other glaring thing is you basically saw, you know, what got Deion the job was his recruiting. Let's not forget that. Reg, that's part, especially in the college game. Deion's a little different in a lot of capacities, though, right?
I mean, a lot of capacities are a little different because he's got the megawatt charisma. He's got the cachet with his playing career. He's had the TV, network game, right? And, he's had the kind of publicity
thing. Don't forget the social media game.
His mark, and plus he's with I hate saying it this way, but baby faces, former chick, Edmonds, right? And so she comes from a super marketing background at a very high level. So she's way behind the scene, but she ain't behind the scene on management. So keep that in mind too. But again, the football part that was impressive to me, and just looking at it, from the X's and O's, it was all there. But the preparation, the poise, the execution, the commitment, having your star players show out, have your team play with that compassion. I've seen absolutely no emotional outburst, no rah-rah, kumbaya shit. That was the best exemplary example of a black leadership on a very new environment, under a very high praise. That to me was the most exemplary part of it all.
And here's my question. When it comes to the drop-off, as far as talent, second, third string, how much do you think it's going to hurt the team? Because I don't know how much depth they got.
They're not that deep. When you start getting up with some USC thugs and Washington thugs that are waiting for you on the schedule in Utah, it's a different brand. Nebraska is going to be an interesting game because now there's one missing element that wasn't their tape. But I'll tell you one thing to your Lee Corso statement and to those other haters that were making statements about Sanders too. One thing he actually did, and he had a total understanding with, he totally demystified the bullshit of the FBS. Because Texas Christian totally demystified that bullshit. And all brothers ever needed was that real opportunity, able to build a team their way, not be micromanaged. That's what he has in his favor. So Colorado has no choice. They were wilding out. They weren't winning games. Carl Durrell was the brother before him. Carl Durrell struggled supremely while he went 1-10. But one continuous primary complaint, he had no NIL. Colorado was not doing NIL with him. So his 1-10, now Deion, I've seen him on 17 commercials with his family.
Affleck just showed a new one with the Colorado Buffalo.
I seen him eating KFC, selling
to meet my
yogurt,
new friend, the Colorado Buffalo comes around the corner.
Hanging out with Saban. I haven't seen a pinata get pushed out like this in a long time.
You cannot ignore the showbiz aspect of it. Here's the problem with these old stodgy white guys and the brothers that kiss their ass on national TV.
Perfectly stated.
They're
perfectly
still,
friggin',
thank you.
Perfectly
they
friggin'
are,
stated.
That, you know, It goes back
Jason
to the
like
whole.
Line too.
It goes back to what the NCAA
fucking heads.
The NCAA still wants to cash them 2024 checks, but they want to do it under 1940s values.
Yeah,
and that's just not gonna fly.
Yeah.
Hey, hats off Notre Dame for Tennessee State getting that $1 million check. Thank you, Notre Dame.
I mean, whatever you got to pay for a beatdown, I think the winner is always the team that got the money in that situation. That's a total mismatch, right? You know, I mean, it's nice in the marquee, but the budgeting development.
Tennessee State saying we play Notre Dame on the schedule. We can use that for recruiting.
I'm not mad at it. I mean, had I been at Tennessee State to think they play Notre Dame one day, that would have seemed something far fetched years ago. So yes,
absolutely.
I agree with you.
But that's what that's part of the whole part and parcel. That's part because see, look, even if they beat them 1,000-3. If somebody sees that Tennessee State 32nd spot and says, I want to go play there, it's worth it.
Yep.
And see,
it also helps T-Mac really quick. You made a great point. It also helps with the number one thing that sports does for schools. It helps with, you know, people who register as students, right? Because anytime
exactly.
a team reaches the Final Four,
exactly.
like Colorado's really building out a student body. They can't. I mean, the $5 million Deion's getting, he better do some external things because it's chicken feed to what the university's making, right?
$5 million, the school and the school funds to get X more money than Deion ever will get at. If Colorado wins 5 games this season, they will be the most sought-after 5-win team in all of college football. Everybody named Mamba is going to want Colorado in a bowl game. They can pick their bowl game for the next championship.
Well, Mike, there's one other corridor to that, too, as well. I mean, Jesus. I mean, come on. I mean, I needed to have driven down to Reno and got some love on that 20-point score. I mean, Colorado covering for 20. I know people got quadruple paid taking that 20 points. You know what I'm saying?
But Eric, I got to ask a question. We have Virginia Union on NFL Network in Morehouse.
I've seen that.
The sweetest thing I've seen. Especially
I've seen
at
that.
The end when they asked Dr. Parker. It's a Dr. Parker.
And there's more. And there's more.
Back,
and Reg, you've got to learn. And Reg, there's more. Because like I said, 150, the counting all the networks and streaming and whatever, 150 HBCU games are going to be able to be seen live.
I also seen Tuskegee on ESPN, their prime channel.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And Fort Valley State? I will say
exactly.
the way that the way they covered the game, the optics, it looked good.
The optics looked good.
Hey,
you know, on that particular game.
The NFL Network lady asked him. He said, "Dr. Parker, you going to enjoy that plane ride back?" He said, "No, we going by bus."
Either way,
Deion showed the love. He said, "We're going to get on that nice airplane." He was on that Jackson State bus. So we're going to get on that nice airplane and head back. I mean, the way the news cycle works, that 9 o'clock start game, that Saturday, across the nation, that was a prime time. for a Saturday game to start at noon on the East, 9 a.m. on the West, 10 in the Central, 11, you know, I mean, Central. And then it was and Mountain, 10 Mountain. It was like perfectly time frame to get up and watch these things. And they're going to do the same thing next week in Nebraska. Now, is Colorado the 22nd ranked team in the United States? I mean, they're rolling this pinata out. Fact. They're 22nd in the nation.
Think about coming up with one win season.
I mean, incredible.
If they're 2-1 or 3-0 against USC, oh, my God. Well, you see,
think of this perfect storm here that was Saturday. In a sense, they basically became Muhammad Ali and the Dallas Cowboys in the sense of 50% of the people were there to see them win, and 50% of them was to see them get their lunch handed to them.
I'm probably going to go 20-80, right? 21 to see them. 21 to see us win. That's us. And 80% couldn't wait to see a thrashing. You know what I mean? To be right.
Is that D. Coastal and a certain coach from Clemson that said, I would never get to N&L? Well, Duke whooped that ass good. He might want to be taking his policy.
There you go. But that's the thing. You can't get much more perfect storm than the
one shining moment thing just stands out to me, man, because the key is, reasonably, can you go for another 500? You can't depend on a 500 passing game every year, right?
I mean, people come here to keep it.
We keep it 100, right? And a lot of those,
you gotta change it up.
A lot of those were run after catches, correct? So much of those were RACs, right?
Sure.
So he can dink and dunk with the best. That looked very Jackson State. I tell you, the last time I seen someone run Wash's offense as good as this was Montana on the college level. That was pure 49ers shit I was looking at with that pass game, man. That was that old West Coast style. Did Deion play there? Did anyone play with the Niners?
Yeah, won the Super Bowl.
The thing is,
he can get better. That's the scary part. He's not going to do 500 every week, but he doesn't have to. Now, I think
Travis Hunter missed some games last year due to injury, correct?
Yes.
Can he maintain this pace? All those snaps.
He's a little more physical than he was this freshman year.
Put it this way.
Especially his little light in the ass.
I like to hear the prospective. Can you maintain that? Well, Charles Woodson and them dudes did a lot of that in college. But they're not as used as heavily as Hunter.
Well, I'll say this. Let's just say they're probably, you know, it was probably a little bit of necessity and whatever because of the flow of the game.
It was total necessity,
let's put it this way. I think maybe you get one more game of him doing 100 plays this year because conceivably you're going to have some cupcakes where they're going to sit some guys, you know, from the third quarter on. So he's not going to put them out there.
Well, the Pac-12 is a quarterback-centric conference, right? There's a lot of outstanding quarterbacks in the Pac-12.
Absolutely.
And there's way better receivers in the Pac-12 than what we've seen at TCU. And see, this is where the pinata rolls out. I'm going to bounce out, too. So in other words, it was nowhere near the same TCU team from last year. You know, their offensive coordinator shot to Clemson. And they did a statistic. See, this is where the gambling thing was totally lopsided for, you know, Colorado to be this lovely, lovely playable and break off a lot of people financially who took that bet. Because when they did, Fox showed a percentage of, like, offense, the lowest offensive impact per personnel in the country was Colorado number one because they went 1-10. And with the changes to TCU's roster, the way it overcame, they were second at 18.9. So basically, when you look at that statistic, they're even teams, despite all the newness, right? That's why I'm measured with the hype, because even though they were in the national championship game last year, this guy was coach of the year, it was a light year different squad, right? And it was more competitive. Now, to the depth factor, one thing Deion had over Texas Christian, too, they were in better condition.
Yeah,
Colorado did not.
And see, you got to remember also, Deion got, I want to say now, Deion, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Deion was hired in December. So
yeah,
that gave him
that's true
a little bit
that's
more
true
time to literally and figuratively
gut everything.
Mold.
Yeah, gut it
yeah
all.
Because remember,
yeah,
one of the things I did, I looked back at that initial press conference, and he basically came out and said, some of y'all going to be here, some of y'all ain't going to be here.
First thing he said, this is your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all.
Yeah,
how y'all doing?
Yeah.
This is your quarterback.
Yeah.
So the quarterback yeah knew he was gone.
Sure.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Sure. All of them
yeah
bounced out. But you know what? I mean, in terms of the hype on this, it's incredible, man. You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of it's not really measured. You know what I mean? In terms of how we're having this conversation here. But at the same time, again, I liken this to this one shining moment. But as we know, it's a lot more ahead of us. And,
yeah,
but, you know,
but
this pinata, they're setting this thing up to be a pinata. Yeah, all ears.
Right, but Eric, I'll give you a perfect example.
If nothing else, this is a hell of an opening act.
Right, so, but I'll give you a perfect example, Eric. You look at University of Virginia. Now,
right,
the brother came from Clemson, and he totally screwed Virginia program up. He had a
mm-hmm
decent quarterback, Armstrong, and the man was so shell-shocked that he went and started with NC State. This guy, if Virginia wins two games this year, I'll be shocked because they got James Madison at James Madison's favor, and the quarterback's already been broken half, his starting quarterback. That's what happens when you have some of these guys that want to put their own program in but don't use the horses that are there. And I got a feeling next year his ass gonna be gone.
I mean, they take
here,
they take
here,
these jobs and they're scared. They coach scared.
You know, one of the things, guys. I first of all, it's good to be with you guys tonight. Something that I saw, this guy was commenting on Deion. He went out to his practice, and he gave a tremendous critique. And basically,
mm-hmm,
he said when he went out there, he kept his eyes open. He didn't know, he's known him for a while, but he wanted to know what was going on. And
mm-hmm
he basically sent it down to this. He says, I saw the practice. I saw discipline. I saw structure.
There it is. There
I
it is
saw detail.
There it is.
I saw
there it
excellent
is
coaching. And he
there
said,
it is
if anybody thinks that they're going to be a pushover.
That sounds like Big
he
John
said,
Mercer.
No, wait. And do you know what that coach was? That was Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was at the time. He said, I know he's going to win. Now, the trick is this. For Saturday, you have Nebraska and Colorado. Now,
mm-hmm,
Colorado has 82 players that came on new. In the Big Ten, Nebraska has the most 67. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I'm going to give the edge to Colorado. But I had to temper that with this. I said 2 years ago, 2 years ago, what was going on? Now with Deion, while he left Jackson State, of course, you know, Deion was putting his money into the program, and when at the end he wanted to take the money back, you know, for himself and the football team, and the president said, "I'm going to keep the money." So Deion had fills out anyway. The trick
you know,
was
those black presidents in them schools.
You got that right. The trick was Colorado offered him $25 million. They gave him 28. All right,
mm-hmm,
and from that he's built that and an excellent coaching staff. Now, here's the trick. 2 years ago, I was talking about this when some people also were dissatisfied with their team, and they said that we got to change it around. They spent
mm-hmm
$60 million on USC and the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
The reason why these white boys are pissed off because he's doing something that none of them did first, and they could capitalize it on themselves, and nobody else could. Wrong.
Yep.
He's doing it,
yeah,
and I'm happy for him.
Hey, Patrick, I got one question for you. Lee Koso, what's he going to say at game night this coming Saturday? If you pitch this past week.
Lee Koso and Tom, what's the guy on ESPN? Tom Lumenbill, he evaluates all the high school talent. He was dogging Deion. He said they'd never win.
Of course.
Please, shut up. Shut up. And Lee Carson was still locked back in the 50s and early 1960s. That's where it says that, you know. I mean, that's where he's at, and that's fine, you know. Time has moved on. What Deion has did, what John Calipari did with basketball. I'm going to get the best ball player, mm-hmm. We're going to take him out. We don't care what happens. And that's what he's done, and I'm happy for him.
But you know what, Patrick? I agree 1,000% because you talk about the cashless clay factor. All that is in the mix, and there's mm-hmm. one thing that they can't get from anywhere else. You can go in that locker room and say, these people don't give a fuck about you. You came from here, there, and everywhere to play this game. The school is paid X amount of dollars for this. And they'll talk about the coach more than they'll talk about you. Mm-hmm. The only thing you can do is when you get on that field, get even. Fuck mm-hmm. the boys mm-hmm. up. No matter how, no matter what. Do what you do as best you can do it. Tackle as best as you can tackle. Play with emotion. Play with intelligence. And you ain't got to go Super Negro. All you got to do is play football. And remember, nobody mm-hmm. can do nothing without the ball. That's the thing mm-hmm. that guarantees discipline. And
by the way, Mike,
we'll do something close to that.
Mike, by the way, the place is sold out Saturday.
That's right.
Oh, what a surprise. What a shock.
The merchandise.
That Buffalo will be hauling ass Saturday.
Nebraska is walking into a hot spot, man.
Yes.
That's going to be big love country and then some. And they had no home crowd. They had no real travel crowd when they went to TCU.
There you go.
So when they head home, the hype, you know, the build up, you know, everything that's taking place on that campus right now is there. I'd be interested to see that spread because Deion's getting people paid and it's set up to do so because there's a lot of intrinsic scenarios there. You shifted the game. But with that being said, yeah, it's a lot to be really respectful about. It's still measured because, you know, it was a game that they, you know, made the play. The team with the rock on the last play made the game. Now the attrition kicks in, right? You know, what's the recovery factor? It was high to TCU, going to a cooler environment back in Colorado, a lot of brothers, they had to get out there and play. Not much substitution patterns, heavy reliance on your star player, the conditioning component and the repeat factor.
Big
again,
time.
Each week's
Big
a new
time.
Measuring stick of how that's happened. That's what I look for there. But what again, the thing that really impressed me more than anything else, and I haven't watched every snap, was the presentation that Colorado had as a team. It was just impeccable. It was impeccable.
And guess what? Mm-hmm. Guess what? And guess what team Deion interviewed for? And they told him no.
Check what, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Oh, that's why it's personal. That's why he said this
there
is personal.
There you go. Oh.
I'm so glad the
Nebraska thing didn't work out. That was not going to work with that team.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, Gil was the one that.
That would have been Charlie Strong all over again.
Yeah, Gil was the one that should have been there in Nebraska. He was played as a coin hustler. Only thing he did was race to Buffalo and turned
Turner.
It around. But I just want to see Lee Costa ass swarm and when game day goes there this week. I can't wait to see his punk ass.
I let Costa go because Costa 90. You know, his mindset is 2 years ago.
I'm one of those people that if you got a Civil War statue up, you know, I don't have a problem with it coming down. I don't care how long Robert E. Lee's been
Thank
dead.
You.
Thank you.
And that's what we did in Richmond. But Lee Costa is the type of person that is dangerous to the corporate money. And I'm saying I'm so happy he got embarrassed on national TV.
Call it like it is, right?
This punk has got to come in again. So I have no use for that piece of shit.
Call it like it is,
right? I want him to pick Nebraska. Go ahead. Show your cracker ass. It's just Rich Saltine ass. Pick Nebraska. Then when they get the ass kicked, Lee, it's been nice knowing you, but you can't come on here no more. So we don't let you do fine.
And this, guys, the second part of this, it was supposed to be, Rule was supposed to be the guy that had the headlines on the transfer portal and winning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you know anything about the Nebraska team, they have a lot of homegrown players. The days when they had 105 players, I mean, they had 60 from Nebraska. Now, I got that
right.
From my boy, Richie Glover. You know, Richie and I played the guy. So Richie told me when he first got there, he said he had half the team was from Nebraska because that's their college team and their pro team. But Rule came and said, well, he said, that's nice, but all them guys got to go. So they thought Rule might be doing what Deion's doing, but Deion just, you know, outshone him. And we'll see on Saturday what outcomes
are. But, you know, Deion's thing is still super quadruple overrated because, if you know, in terms of the transfer and that portal thing, because if you look at the recent games that Florida State played LSU, I mean, every other player, hey, he's a transfer from Michigan State. Oh, he came from Clemson. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was on Alabama's depth chart. The interesting thing about college football process, when you transfer back in the day, you had to have transferable credits before you could transfer. Correct. That don't exist no more.
Why are you talking about University of North Carolina? Now you put Marion Jones. You're bringing her back up too now.
Hey, give my man his five classes to maintain his 2.0.
Oh, Lord.
Wait, man.
But Vice President of Studies.
You're going back there. You're going back too far.
Right?
Come on, man.
As much as we want to enjoy Coach Sanders, do what he's got to do. Like I said, these folks are nervous. Pat McAfee.
Yes, they are.
Who is the new daughter, thanks to the contract, talked about Coach Sanders and the victory. See, he was supposed to do this soon. This is the super nigga effect, you know? They always talk about the flash and the commercials and the media storm of his personality and everything that goes with it.
Right.
But what they don't say is that he can coach. He's smart. He's disciplined.
But he's still a Negro.
And Mike, do you know who was the first white boy who pointed out he's going to do it? Was McAfee.
Who?
He said
that's
last
right.
year. He said the last year. He said Deion will change it around.
Yeah. Hey, so Mike, I got a question. So you always weigh in on the super nigga personata, right? Now, is this picture being painted here?
Yep. That's exactly what they're
trying
to do.
Right? And that's that pinata complex because, you know, I mean, maintaining the team, maintaining the process, it still comes down to the players between the lines, right, no matter what. And the coach doesn't have all the persona, right? But he's got some guys that can really play. But, you know, what was cool, I mean, Shador, in a pure, honest moment after the game when he was interviewed, he said, man, I ain't never thrown for 510. Last year I was at an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go.
That to me was, I mean, it to me, that just had echoes of ancestral power, right? Because some brothers that labored in the HBCU but loved doing it, you know, off the grid. You know what I'm saying? To me, it gave me this universal wide viewpoint of the statement because had the brothers had an opportunity of some of them strong HBCU teams, that in their heyday, if they lined up against Colorado when they had the Autumn brothers that went pro and finished it and others, they'd have whooped that ass. But it was never going to be.
Notre Dame played Tennessee State last week. Believe me, because I was back there. If Notre Dame would have played when Jefferson Sujo was back there, it would have been a different game.
Mm-hmm. Larry Kinnebrew, Richard Dent, they were all on that squad. Steve Moore, who was the offensive guard for the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl opposite Dent that year.
Yes,
Malcolm
indeed.
Taylor. Brian Ransom, who was a brother that played a few years back, of course, he backed up 747. McDonald Oaten, tight end, TSU, played with the Browns, I believe, for a number of years in the NFL. They were all stacked on that squad. They had more NFLers on that team. But when Shadur made that statement, I mean, you know, I was like, shit, this is like the perfect, you know, outgoing. With it. And they asked him, he's sitting there with Hunter, and they go, hey, Shadur, you know, threw for – and he was shot. I said, I ain't never threw for 5'10 in my life. Didn't shit on the myth of SBA's football being dominant and Shadur being one of the top quarterbacks in the nation and when his father said he's a Heisman candidate, there's no better Heisman candidate after week one than Shadur, and 1A is Hunter.
And you know what's right? Urban Meyer said he's a first-round NFL quarterback right now.
If you've seen the way he spaced his feet, the way he tied, and he's a pass-first quarterback, if he gets a little more, you know, down in terms of when to scramble, when to roll out a little more, when to take off a little bit, because he's pass-first completely, and even though he's a little bit more mobile, he carved him up for 5'10".
He'll be all right.
I mean, that's no joke. Yeah. The dude went for 51% of 1,000 yards his first FBS game.
Hey, Eric, I got a question for you. Who was more outspoken, Shadur Sanders or Coco Graff when she cussed out the chair umpire? Say, look, that girl is slow. You better speed this motherfucking game up. I ain't waiting on this bitch.
Coco in a landslide victory. Compared to Shadur. But Shadur made that thing. Like,
they said,
last year, I was at HBCU. So what are you saying, bro? You saying that the teams and the brothers you paid against gave you more opposition than TCU at the FBS level? Yeah, that's what you're saying. It's a pure answer.
You just did it.
That's exactly right.
The Celebration Bowl, at Celebration Bowl, not once but twice when they went home crying. That's why I said a lot of people are sleeping.
Well, unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Hold on. We got to take a moment there because what Coco Graff did was right on point. You got to remember, a few years ago, there was a movie that came out called Vantage Point. It showed an assassination.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one.
And the camera cut to several people and where they were as the whole thing unfolded.
The angle. Yeah,
now,
the angle.
Our vantage point in the Deion Sanders game was this boy fixing to whip somebody's ass. And we've seen on Prairie View, FAMU, every HBCU that's worth their salt come in with that mindset, but they never had the chance to play an opponent and really whip that ass. There were teams that just wouldn't schedule them because they knew they was going to get their ass whipped. She was in the U.S. Open full of piss and vinegar. She had Serena, and she channeled her to the F degree. She was aggressive. She was right on point. And she didn't take no shit from the referee. And all those things were put in place. And that was important because earlier in the men's match with the German player and some asshole in the stands was singing Deutschland über alles or Germany over everything. He made a point of stopping the match and said, get that motherfucker who said that shit. You're not supposed to say that. And they went out their way to get them. Now, all I'm saying is they could use the same technology to get the motherfucker that shot those people at the White Sox game. And I'm sorry, Tony's not here, but...
Easily.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, in fact, they got this thing called, like, you know, a gun. If you bust a gun, they got sensors that know where the shots were fired.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, out here, they got a sensor. So if you left a few rounds in the sky for someone's birthday, Popo's rolling in a few minutes because they got sensors that can measure gun trajectories and what enters the atmosphere. So, yeah, that's real. That is real. That's real tech now.
Yes, sir.
All right. So Nebraska is the headline game this Saturday, huh? NFL's rolling up at it.
It's all working out
for Fox because Fox is getting that game.
When
Andrews shows up to go see Coach Prime, we go.
Please. No, he ain't going to play.
It's already happened, man. And Coach Prime walked. Check this out. I seen a highlight on, you know how the feeds are. So these feeds I have, I get the loop. So, no, the interview's coming down. She's walking. He's showing off his office and his lair behind the office. And he's walking around, very interestingly enough, with black overalls and a big cowboy hat. That overall look, my goodness gracious. Wow.
When he ran the bull during practice with the Buffalo during
practice. You got to appeal to those CU fans because that's the majority of it. Very, very lily. The other thing that happens with team success on campus in Becky land, watch out for the Becky setups moving forward.
Why you got to make five minutes to this?
You hear what I'm saying, G?
Jungle fever.
There you go.
Jungle fever. Watch out.
Hey, I mean, come on, man. We see it all the time. Look at Georgia. They can't stay out of the friggin' spin-out problem there on that friggin' campus, right? Florida had the same issues. Miami, the U, had the same issues. When you start taking off that campus environment just woof.
Anyone
who's coach that has success, you gotta measure that.
Yeah.
You gotta talk to your players.
How long for sanctions come, Patrick? How long for Colorado get hit with sanctions? Somebody gonna be a plant. Somebody gonna do something. They get too successful. That's like Malcolm X. There's too much power for that nigga to have. Somebody's going to do something.
Watch out.
I'm going to give it 1 or 2 years for the sanction come.
Watch out for the Vikings.
Those state universities. They're hard to match. I mean, John Thompson had to deal with that at Georgetown. You know what I'm saying? He's the only brother there in Lilliesville.
You got to watch out for the Vikings. You got to watch out for the dope man.
Yep.
And now you got to watch out for the gambler.
And you also got to watch out for those agents.
Yes.
Effing with eligibility with contact.
Yes. Yes.
You know that. I mentioned before in horse racing, there's syndicates, people that put their money together to nail a pot. And we will see certain things like this happen with football, college football, especially with somebody like Deion, who's hot. And the next thing you know, they're caught up. The other thing that they're not talking about is Gus Johnson called a hell of a game. Now,
yeah, he did.
I did
that
not,
show Clatt was
I
pretty nice
not,
himself. I was shocked with how good Clatt was.
I thought he was good.
You didn't like Clatt? Okay, cool.
I didn't like Gus as much early on, but then I found out his enthusiasm is genuine.
He reacts like a real fan.
I like that. So he mixes fan and analyst really well.
That's Gus.
And he called a great game. So
I thought Clatt was really good because he's a Colorado grad, but he was neutral for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean, what's your thoughts on Patrick Clatt? I was impressed with Clatt. Was I on the bender because of the way the game was going? But I thought he did well.
Clatt did an outstanding interview with Dion last week before the game started. Of course, he has that passion value because he went to the school, but he was informative, down to earth. And concise.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Yeah.
And that's where he comes off.
Because there's so many whack ass color commentators out there.
Please.
I mean, just harsh.
Herb Street,
my goodness. I know he's one of your OSU colleagues, but I don't see it with Herb Street.
Herb Street's one of the boys, man. He's in the club.
Yep.
He's getting that Amazon and ESPN
check. And I don't know why he got the Amazon job, but that's another. I guess he did. He's in the club. I'll leave it like that. Mm. I've talked to him a couple of times. He's generally a nice guy, as you see him.
Right.
But he's in the club.
When he was at Ohio State
playing quarterback, he wasn't the best quarterback they had. His father was a quarterback at Ohio State. Father made a lot of money. They got him on the team, played quarterback. But he knew his limitations. But now he's informative. He works hard at what he does. But I think he should stay to college and let somebody else a shot to be pros. But that's another business.
Amazon wanted to lower the age with Al Michaels riding shotgun and maybe have someone that can relate to the younger crowd with the college.
There you go.
Herb Street, you know.
There you go.
The marketing piece of that.
There you go.
Hey, guys, what y'all think about Brian Gummer retiring from real sports?
He didn't make enough money.
Yeah, overdue.
Yeah.
That thing is still on?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I say the same thing. I wasn't even watching it, but I can't afford HBO.
trying to replace him with Bo Monty.
No, that'd be
Brothers from Another Mother.
That'd be good.
What's the one on Peacock where they got the brothers on from Peacock?
Oh my goodness!
Brother from Another Mother.
Brother from Another Mother, but they forgot the F word after mother.
Yeah.
There you go.
Say, Reg, by the way,
That shit is funny.
I did two games last week. It was interesting. I did the Hampton Grambling game last week.
I want to ask you how the one in Newark, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How was the crowd at the game?
Let me tell you what they said, but how many tickets were sold?
All
right.
Uh-oh.
Now it's in the Red Bull Arena. It's a soccer arena, which is very, very nice. Fits 25,000.
Yeah.
The arena fits 25,000. They sold 5,500 tickets.
How many did they give away?
$5,500 tickets. Now here's the problem.
That is embarrassing.
Well, nobody from Grambling
wanted to come up.
Half the band came up. That's about half the stadium right there. They were on the corner. The problem was that now they started selling it. I found out 2 years ago, and you get 5,500 people. There's some bad marketing going on. Now, the trick was, watch this. The trick was during the halftime, after the halftime of that game, guess what they show on the big screen in the Red Bull Arena?
They
would show the promotion piece for the next Brook City Basketball Classic at the Rock of Prudential. Last year, that bad boy
what?
Sold out.
Well, they're smart. They know how to market it. They're smart.
Somebody marketed through City Hall. Must have been somebody one of City Hall's boys or whatever. It took them 2 years to get 5,500 students. Give it to somebody else because that's embarrassing.
No shit.
Yeah, it is. Hey, but I think Union might did better than them because they had a decent crowd at the NFL Hall of Fame. And Morehouse didn't bring in, but Union brought a good crowd. I know these 10 buses came up from Richmond to back Union. Hey.
So
that was a game, Hampton. Who did they play again?
And Grambling. Now,
wow.
Now, here's the trick behind that.
And Grambling's still looking for a decent squad.
They got some big boys, but that's another story. I don't want to go down there.
They're slow.
Grambling came up. The last time Grambling came up here was 23 years ago to this area.
Yeah.
Because the reason why they came up every year because Steinbrenner and Eddie Robinson made sure he brought
Stadium.
Up. When Eddie died, he hasn't been up here since.
Yes, sir.
23 years. And I was a part of the promotional group that got the largest amount of game between Grambling and Hampton at Giant Stadium, which almost 60,000 people.
It was a very marketed novelty
kind of game
too.
Because
there was no TV coverage for Grambling, so when they came up to a media center like New York, it was more or less it had a taste to it that's rare. Like, what is Grambling about?
Oh, yeah.
We hear about them all the time.
Yep.
And then the New York papers marketed pretty well too. Just get that.
Oh yes, because Steinbrenner started putting in Daily News on the first week in June.
Right, correct.
By the time August, everything was gone.
The Star Ledger too, which had a big.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Star Ledger, even the Long Island paper, they did the same. I mean, it was almost Steinbrenner made sure it was taken care of because the people came out. But
and all the brothers and sisters came out too.
In
Harlem, USA,
oh,
the Boogie Down Bronx, because it was regional. You know,
everybody
they could get up to the stadium. You know,
everybody came out. Everybody came out. So, what's the culture? God, please. Hampton, I had to leave it in the third quarter. Here was a problem. It was the first game, so I put some photographers from a local papers and one guy from a sports illustrated was next to me. He was ticked off because the first quarter took an hour and 17 minutes.
Dang.
Because it was calling,
how many fouls they call every other play?
Every other play. It was a play. It's the first game. I said the first game.
Ain't no excuse for that. Ain't no excuse.
It was rough.
Patrick, I mean, you're in the loop out there. You found out about
TV
it by accident.
But,
right?
Yeah,
you didn't know they were
the
coming up. You
that
just kind of ran into it.
That was the problem. It was what I was trying to tell my lady, because she her and her AK people, they had a big group there. But I had to help understand, you can't sell a block. It should become the people who signed up for the tickets more than the blocks. Again, it was more. Ticketing goes in layers, and they only hit one layer, and that's unfortunate.
Thank you.
Because a game like that, it should pack out. Now, a lot of Hampton people came in. I was surprised. A lot of Hampton people came up. They had about 6, 7
bucks. Hampton's going to travel a little bit. They're going to travel a little bit.
They came.
Hampton has a good alumni number in that New Jersey, New York area as well.
Yes. Yeah,
there are people who go to Hampton, Jersey, NYC, Pennsylvania, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
The
difference for the basketball game, they'll bring up four HBCU schools. Two play the first game, two play the second game. But everybody stays around because there's so much happening. And it's also co-sponsored by who? Michael B. Jordan. He laid
Hello.
It out.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Big difference.
Well, you're going to have probably Union, probably Howard, probably Hampton, and maybe, Bowie State or somebody like that.
I don't have named out the teams yet. But last year, I got there late, and folks, it was the end of the second game, and folks were still hanging around. But they have more buses than people.
Yep.
They wasn't going nowhere. That's a nice thing.
Shit, we enjoying ourselves.
That's what they did. That's what it did. By the way, there's some football games Sunday, guys. Anybody got any picks?
Say it again.
There's some football games on Sunday. Anybody got any picks? Please don't
I want to know what Cleveland's going to do. I'm still pulling for Cleveland.
Yeah, here's an interesting one. You know, San Francisco at Pittsburgh, and both have just got
it is. Very good. Very good.
One
very good.
For 170 mil.
I got to go with 49ers, but I got to see how the Cleveland Browns will do because my man Watson, he had a full training camp. He's back in rhythm, and I really got to believe Cleveland's going to be the sleeper in that division. And Jacksonville scares me because Jacksonville, they got it loaded. I mean, what, the Colts going to give them a problem? I doubt it. Tennessee's still rebuilding. And who else is in that division?
I'm interested to see this game tomorrow night, KC and Detroit. Indoors. Interesting to see. And, of course, you know, on Monday, we got the local teams here. And the Giants hopefully are all – wait. The Giants got to play their gone Cowboys on Sunday. Man, please.
With Gary's favorite quarterback.
Don't get Gary started. Oh, Lord, here we go. I think I don't get Gary started. Lord. Go ahead, Gary. Let's hear it, Gary. Let's hear it.
Are you going to bring David Carr or somebody else?
I'm going to need to drink some toast. I'm going to need to drink some toast. I'm going to have a rest of the day.
Hey, Gary, you had Jimmy Pornstar on your team. You know, Jimmy Pornstar. Hey, look, he got so much street cred that they let him into the brothels in Las Vegas. I paid.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy G. He's got the buffet pass at a cat house.
But they got a game on Sunday. They got a game on Monday. And say, wait, how the hell do that?
Well, yeah, you know, he got that black credit card. That's why he can do it.
There you go.
Oh, God. Man, I hate you guys. I had too much fun. I hate y'all.
Gentlemen, it's time to wrap it up. Preseason. You know, Coach Sanders did an excellent job in setting the table. He's going to be the talk of the college football world. For the whole season.
For another week.
Even if you only lose this one game. Well, let's put it this way. TCU is not the little sisters of the poor. This was a legit team that he beat.
Correct.
And
correct.
Now they got to honestly deal with him. And how they talk about him and how they talk at him will be the talk of how we protect and defend him because he's a black man who's doing something very, very well. And whenever somebody black does something well, there's always that word, but.
But,
Lee Coast online, too. Lee Coast online, too.
And Mike, here's other parts that we all know. What a lot of people can't take, they can't take a confident black man.
You got that
A couple of black men that won't acquiesce to their insecurities and their shortcomings. That's what they can't
This is Dabo Swinney, and I'm Dabo Swinney, and we're going to do it my damn way. I don't give a damn what that Deion Sanders does.
I will share. It's good to see some balls, man. I mean, because there's been enough punctified ish that just got overwhelming. You know, so someone with some courage, shit. I mean, that's good to see him stand on his own dime. Yes.
Eric, I would like to see how other players react to Colorado's progress.
I want to play for that dude. I'm in the
portal.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you got to have a certain standard. Just can't walk on and play. He's just going to walk in because
you got to make sure you got enough transferable credit to fix your major.
Oh, please.
So you can be eligible.
I got a bridge to tell you. Hey, this is Jerry Jones online, too. I was in Arkansas as a participant.
I will say this. If you want to think about transferring transferring, you better be able to play. That's the problem.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're
saying. If you're an offensive defensive lineman, you can transfer.
You've got to be able to play. But, you know, see, Sanders gets no credit for his history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets no credit for
14
years in the league and playing with some really – I mean, he's played with Rice. He's played with Irvin.
That's right.
He's played with Ray Lewis. You know,
he got a good
he's played with Nate
too.
Newton. He's played with Big E. He knows that he played with, you know, Troy and Emmett. He's played for Jimmy Johnson. He's played for some certain
coaches. He knows.
And he's learned, you know, he played for Bowden at Florida State. He was a two-star athlete, you know what I mean, that really excelled at a high level. He's never been short on confidence. And he has a rare factor. He has his family member under center. And
there
so there's just different things there. So the question will now be, as I've heard before, can he coach someone outside of his son under center? I was like, man, they're reaching.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
I'm
saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's
that Lee
Coso.
Yeah, Lee Coso. I tell you, that's Lee Coso. I want him to pick Nebraska so bad. Please pick Nebraska, Lee Coso. Please.
Segregation forever. According to Lee Coso.
Boone Connor.
Lee
Joe Connor Corso.
Oh,
yes.
Lee George Wilder.
It's final thoughts time. Reggie, set it off, please.
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, this past week in Richmond, Virginia, I was so proud and happy for Coach Damian Wilson to come in to the Capital Confederacy, and that clown, Eric knows I'm talking about the University of Richmond football coach, the pace to get his ass kicked by brother. I can't wait to see the ass kicking he's going to get this week in Michigan State. Because, you know, good and well, Michigan State ain't having no two-bit small-time Richmond school to come up there as a more.
Nah, Mel
field.
Tucker got him ready.
And I'm sure the brother said down there, hey, he got another black man he got to take an ass whooping too. So I'm really looking forward to that. And Coco, please win this to be your first major. Because that Serena Williams reincarnated.
That's
so
right.
So I hope Coco can bring it home.
There you go, babe. Go get him, Coco.
Hey Reggie, did you mention that you all beat Norfolk State?
Oh, damn. Yeah, shout out to the Trojans that went down to Spartanland. And I got a feeling a certain coach in Norfolk State might be his last year. Because they ain't looking too good. You right, Professor. They ain't looking good. Coach Odom and them ain't looking too good at all.
Is that the professor? Well, now, hold on. Professor, first of all, good evening. And second of all, I need you to weigh in on what you saw with your favorite player beating Texas Christian.
My favorite player?
Cry. Cry.
I was actually pulling for him because I go with black no matter what when it comes to coaching. The fact that he played for the Cowboys, I mean, he had to play for somebody. he also played for that team in Atlanta. So, you know, he did a
I was
happy for him for two things. Because those reporters had railed on him and second guessed him, you know, that's all the kind of stuff. I did too, but I'm not putting it all out there like they did. And I have good reasons for it. But at the same time he already has the upper hand for this coming weekend because he's playing the same dumbass that blew the game this past Saturday.
That was some dumbass coaching, but they won. Yeah. You're right.
and they're finding out in Nebraska what we already knew here in North Carolina. He can't coach. And since I know the K coach really don't coach, his coordinators can't coach either.
I'm looking forward to this game. That's coming up. Patrick.
By the way, by Rich, he can't coach, but took $70 million away as he left. The damn thing. Hey, great life in America, man. I'll say this very quickly. The Bosa family just made about $200 million between Nick Bosa and his brother with the Chargers. They got about $200 million between the two of them playing football. I'm happy for them. That's it.
God bless America.
Yes, Lord.
God bless white America.
Yes, indeed.
God bless America.
Hey.
As John King said, only in America. Only in America.
Only in America.
Eric.
Oh, yeah, sure. Again, you know, one of my favorite comments I heard in a long time from a player that not only was, you know, super genuine, but just, you know, woke up the echoes of the glory days going past and so many brothers that set the table for it. That happened again when Shador Thompson said, hey, I threw for 510 yards. I mean, I've never thrown for that many. I just left an HBCU. And that, you know, using the HBCU in various ways. So in the Caucasoid mind of sports and analytics.
Caucasoid.
Is he saying, yeah, right? Is he saying that, you know, the Jackson State experience is like a JUCO for FBS to get me prepped?
Yeah.
Right, because right, because that's how they see it. And so, what could also happen too with what's happening with Deion's done, we're going to see a lot more offers for D1 these FBS schools to start poaching from the FBS schools. That's going to
that
portal's open like never before. So you have a kind of like, you know, almost like, you know, when the brother started playing in Major League Baseball and they start destroying all the black communities that supported the black baseball, all the small businesses and hotels and things of that sort with the integration component. So the people who look at this, you know, roll the pinata, who have the big picture, they don't get caught up in that one shining moment. They're smart enough at the NCAA level to call it one shining moment. Because this is really
what's
what
next?
It is. Right?
What's next?
That's perfectly said. Because when the lights go, the game go, everybody knows it's a start over. That's past tense. And watching people just over grasp this one, when you do the coaching, you know, and you had the big win. Now, all of us know, if you're in the sideline, that's your team, you got to let it go. Like a love TKO.
Yeah.
You got to move forward, man, through the process of the season. That's the other part, you know, where you get the setup going. So this is where Jim Murray wants. The L.A. sports writer, you know, for the L.A. Times for many years, always had a statement. He gets credit for it. He may not be the originator, but he always tend to make great statements. This is what I'm seeing, you know, unfolding here in Colorado. He goes, he didn't care who won or lost. He just wanted a great story because no matter what, he wins. That's what's happening here. They're not really concerned about winning or losing. They just want to maximize the betting. They want to maximize the opportunity. And not get too granular, because really it's all being set up to fail right now if it doesn't go a certain way based on expectation. That's the pinata rollout. And that's where they roll you, interview you. You know, you start getting arrogant. It's back to the Damon Wayans question, right? When he had that question one time, one of his comedy skits. He goes, hey, Damon, you white reporters go up to him, hey, Damon, you just signed a contract. But he gave this crazy number, $20 billion. Damon, can we ask you, is there racism in America? That's what you're facing moving forward. So you don't want to lose your grit. You don't want to lose your grime. They're softening up, you know, Colorado with all the, but when they were the me against the world, it helped. Now, how do you maintain that edge?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to wait and see and find out.
Mike, I'm going to throw something right quick, Mike. I'm going to throw something the response from LeVar Arrington, who I got a lot of respect for, him criticizing Deion for going after reporters. I'm going, LeVar, do you forget what happened to you, man? That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I want to weigh into that part a second because it's kind of interesting, and I know, you know, the professor weighs in. There is this decorum thing, though, right? And I'm not saying that you have to pronounce and, you know, respond a certain way, but, you know, we can take it to task, and I'm not going to go into it. When you make a statement from the decorum standpoint that people don't want to see an African-American coach coaching 75% African-American players, there's larger percentages of brothers who've coached teams. I mean, John Thompson's teams are practically all black on a lily white campus, right? Big John never crossed that Rubicon. Plus, you're at a university that's probably 90% Caucasian. Kind of out of balance, that particular statement. You're not the first black coach there at Colorado. There's been three before you. So, again, writing that race context thing from the standpoint of you being that ultimate epitome of the black man coach of a team, which is, it's nothing. We've seen this before with brothers coaching predominantly black teams. And if we go to the HBCU concept, they still count as well. It's that same thing. I thought that, you know, from the decorum standpoint, it's representation. It was emotional. Brother been through a lot. He had a big win. He was getting inbound words. You know, I mean, that's the question. He can say what he wants to say. But one thing when you coach, it's not like you can't say what you want to say, but there is a level of so-called decorum where it's already presenting itself what you're doing without you verbalizing. Then you open that can against you. You know, you're setting a standard that you can't defend if it starts going sideways.
And they all going to come after him in the press room.
That's right.
And he opened up the Pandora's box.
Yes,
the other
did.
Key is how do you respond on stage when you lose? Because you're going to lose. You don't have an undefeated squad.
It's coming.
You don't have an undefeated squad. So when that happens,
well,
we've seen what happened at the HBCU level, you know, where he went, you know, he kept diving in. If I ain't swag, who is swag? If I ain't swag, you know. So he got a little soft. We've seen it with some other brothers there that he kept poaching a little bit more. So, again, you know, it just has to be measured, man. I mean, you know, people are building the statue already, which I find phenomenal.
Stay tuned. This got a lot of layers to this onion, and they are not.
I like that. I like that.
Lot of layers, Gary.
I like it. True.
Where'd Gary go?
Okay, I heard you talking about it. Okay, for the first time in 1968, four African Americans will compete in the Grand Slam of the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coco Gauff will be the first teenager since Serena Williams. Today, Ben Jordan defeated Francis DeBoe. And Magic Keys got through, so we have three of the four. We'll move on to the quarterback. Ladies and gentlemen, the two men, Francis DeBoe and Brad Sheldon, are two African-American men with the back and roll, brothers ignored for years and years. Well, guess what? They're here.
That's right, brother. They're here.
There we go. 1 o'clock. We will discuss the 14 starting black quarterback in the National Football League.
Overview of the field generals, yes indeed. And some of the nerves of the Joint Chiefs of Pass will be there early. You know, I've seen and heard some good stuff over the last 72 hours. But I haven't heard anything better than the fact that Colorado upset TCU. Let them keep thinking that it has to be a surprise that the other team lost. Never mind that it was intelligence and hard work that beat them. You know, this is what we didn't get to say it back in the day. Everybody knew Jake needed to coach, but nobody wanted to play him. Even more so, nobody would dare play him. So now we're in the era of history is repeating itself. Coach Sanders comes out and gets it done. Other black athletes also are thinking, damn, I want to join that club. Or I want to go somewhere where the coach is like-minded and will let me get a chance to get my cookies off. Because for every player that has played at the utmost, there are so many other players who get held back because the coaches play with their eligibility and they play mind games with them and they do numbers on them where their performance means nothing. The coach gets paid and the player doesn't get shit. I would have loved to see the Gremlin that we know back in the day with Eddie Robinson smiling stomp the opposition. I would love to see Coach Ned stomp the opposition. I would love to see Coach Banks or Morgan State's coach stomp the opposition. You know, and I don't mean just a plain old ass, but I mean, I leave no doubt. What the fuck are you doing on the same field with me? Answer
that. And Mike, that Alcorn King of the 1970s.
Thank
Alcorn
you.
Bridge.
I mean,
Tennessee State against Notre Dame.
Jackson State. Yeah, Jackson State versus SC. The Peyton Jackson State
teams.
Squad.
We got the spirits of those teams. Prairie View, we have the spirits of all those teams that we know are loaded, that we know are getting somebody's ass. Even Appalachian State, when they pulled off their upset. You know, they had their one shot and they took advantage of it. Now nobody wants to touch Appalachian State. Well, this is going to lead to a lot of other teams getting touched. And when they look for those money games, when they say, bring me the victim du jour, and they say at the black school, and they say, wait a minute, it's a double embarrassment if they get paid and whip our ass. And you better believe they'll be thinking about getting their ass whipped. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I can see Willie Totten squad just, you know, putting in work on any of those, and the same thing goes back to hoop. You know what I mean? You know, when North Carolina Central was beating Duke's ass, and they were the number one team in the nation in the so-called secret game, NC Central. I mean, they were blowing them out back in that era, but it was a private game. But you know what it was? And again, what we've seen again, that's when the Negro League baseball teams would play the Major League Baseball All-Star teams and just beat them down. And Ruth and them were taking ass whoopsings from Gibson's and Cool Papa Bell and them brothers.
I love the information. Secret game.
Dave and the boys couldn't get drunk fast enough.
Thank you. What was that,
Professor?
I said, Babe and the boys back then couldn't get drunk fast
enough. Exactly. Satchel was mowing them down. There was a whole lot of other brothers putting in that work as well. So, you know, and we've seen that, you know, and even in some of these all-star games where they would kind of match up, the brothers was taking down. So, in a way, it was kind of like, you know, this stealth dress rehearsal, what Colorado did, because the players that showed out in that game, everyone contributed, it's correct, but it still came down to Hunter, it still came down to Shador, and it still came down to the coaching. All that was groomed and raised in the HBCU environment. That's the number one thing that I love the most about that process, because they translated that skill set and brought a myth out there, you know, the level. So, yeah, these coaches are saying, it's this level of talent at the HBCU, something we talk about all the time. The answer to that is yes.
It's like that Lion in the Soldier story. Ah, look out, Hitler. The niggas are coming to get your ass.